Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We shift our focus to a little football here before we get back to the calls. Our buddy Rob Motti. A lot of you know Rob from his TV days. I don't have to go into the whole thing. But one of the best football, pure football sports writers, but really in football, that I've ever known and ever read, for the Associated Press, covers the league from soup to nuts. I'll let him tell you about his just fabulous podcast that has to do with faith and football. But I am so appreciative of him giving us a couple of minutes on his Christmas Eve. Rob, thank you for joining us here on The Fan. Let's talk a little football. How are you and how's your family?
Merry Christmas Eve, Ricky. And before we talk football, real quick, top three mob movies I got to give you. Goodfellas, Bronx Tale, and Donnie Brasco. That's my three.
Donnie Brasco. Underrated by many, but absolutely a just fabulous motion picture. Why Goodfellas top at the top?
There's just so many lines from Goodfellas that you go around and you remember and you reuse and you talk about, like, you know, am I funny? How do I amuse you? That one, do I amuse you? Like, you just think of all of these lines that continue to stick in your mind, stick in your head for years on down the line. It's one of those movies where if you're flicking through the channels, Ricky, and it's on, you stop flipping and you watch it, no matter whether it's 20, 30, 40th time. It's one of the best. It's the greatest for me.
I agree with you. The ride with the helicopter over him with, you know, the Rolling Stones music. Liotta is coked up out of his brain, and he's driving around Queens, and he thinks that, you know, the helicopter is following him. It's just it's incredible. Incredible workmanship, you know, as far as filmmaking is concerned. You're very familiar, you know, you've had a TV career, film, you know, the business itself. It's one of those scenes that you're almost in the car with him, Rob.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It takes you the inside look. You know, I grew up in South Philly, and I know a little bit of what that can look like and what the life is and the lifestyle. And that really took you behind the scenes and gave you a pretty accurate portrayal for Hollywood as much as it can be, Ricky. And I think it's obviously Godfather is so well known, but it was a little bit before my time. And by the time I watched it, it's like it's 20 years old and 25 years old. And that's a classic and everybody knows it. But Goodfellas is right up. And then Bronx Tale, man. Bronx Tale is one where some lines in that movie really stick with you. You know, when you grow up a sports fan, Ricky, and then you live and die with these teams, and what Chaz Palminteri, what Sonny says to Little C, like, you think the Yankees, you think Mickey Mantle cares about you, like, that hits you hard as a kid, you know, that kind of thing. And it gives you perspective. Now that I'm in the business, now that I've covered sports for over 20 years, I see the truth in that, right? And, yeah, you know, you're around these guys, you understand what it's like. It's a business. It's wherever they get the biggest paycheck and they're going home. And, yeah, there's guys who care so much about winning. And then there's a majority of players who care about what the NFL or MLB or NBA can do for them, not what they can do for the fan base. So that one was a little bit of a little reality check for me.
All right, let's get to the football. You know, the two teams in this city, in this area, you know, have been the biggest letdowns. Both teams had high expectations. The Jets had expectations of maybe getting a deep run and competing for a Super Bowl. You know, the Giants had been to the playoffs just a couple of years ago with Daniel Jones. there were, you know, signs that maybe this year they could take a step forward with, you know, getting Malik Nabers in the draft and giving him some weapons, and everything falls apart. Let's start from the beginning. Where did things go wrong, in your opinion? You take deep dives into these teams. What happened to New York football this year, Rob?
I'll start with the New York Jets, and I think things really took a turn when Woody Johnson made that decision to fire Robert Saleh at 2-3.
Really?
Okay. Going into a game where they were 2-3, the Bills were 3-2, I believe, at that time, and they were playing that Monday night game for first place, and it took the team off course, and then you promote Jeff Albrecht, and he's the defense hasn't been the same. And when you've got a head coach who's also the defensive coordinator and he's got all these responsibilities, and we can see how the defense hasn't performed at that level. It's been one thing or another, whether it's the kicking game cost them a couple times or one play here, one play there. At one point, and I lost track of this, but at one point you could say they're like one play away or whatever it may be at the end of a game from being 7-2 or 6-3 or whatever it could have been there and what that looked like. But obviously Aaron Rodgers coming back from an Achilles injury hasn't played at the level that we've known him to be, the four-time MVP. And I think that should have been expected. And I thought they were going to be competing for a playoff spot. I really did. I looked at the talent, and I thought that Aaron's going to come in there and just pick up where he left off 2 years ago in Green Bay, and didn't realize that Achilles injury, it's tougher than most to come back from, especially for a quarterback. You look at Kirk Cousins, too, and the way he struggled this year coming back off of an Achilles injury, the way it impacts a quarterback's drop back and everything else that they have to do, more so than an ACL, more so than a knee injury that is usually one of those that's most devastating, keeps you out for a year. So I think this is a talented team, Ricky, and it's not a complete rebuild. It's not a complete overhaul, although now they have to go into the offseason. They're looking for a GM. They're looking for a head coach. But this is a team that's got talent and some pieces in place, and they have to make it right. They have to make the right decision here at GM, at head coach. And we've seen guys come in and the entire culture changes. You look at Washington and the way they've been able to turn things around. It helps to have a franchise quarterback like Jaden Daniels, but Dan Quinn comes in there and he's got him right on the verge of a playoff appearance. You look at Raheem Morris and stepping in Atlanta. They're leading the division right now. They made a quarterback change just last week, but Jim Harbaugh steps into L.A. First-year coaches can lead teams to the playoffs. So I don't think the Jets are as far away as maybe the fans in that area think that they are based on the talent that they have. But this has got to be a home run hire, and they got to get it right. And it's all eyes are on what is Woody Johnson, what are the Johnsons going to do next? What kind of GM are they going to bring in? Are they going to go experience? They've interviewed two guys with experience already at GM. Or are they going to go for someone who has worked in an environment that's produced winning teams, that has a winning culture, someone who can just take that next step in their career progression and assume a GM role for the first time? It's an important job, obviously. All things go through the GM, and it's going to be really interesting to see how the Jets go with this.
What have you heard? Does anyone have a leg up? Dimitroff, Robinson, anybody in particular?
I think it's so early in the process because they can't interview guys that are with other teams. You got Dimitroff, Robinson, Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl Executive Director. But if you're going to start looking at some of the guys that are under contract working it with other teams, like you look at a guy, I'm a little familiar now being in Tampa Bay with John Spytek. He's the Buccaneers assistant GM. And this is a team that has stayed in contention even after losing Tom Brady and going through salary cap hell. So he's a guy who's quite familiar with rebuilding and continuing to sustain success. He's a guy that I think is going to get a lot of interest around the league. You look at organizations like the Baltimore Ravens, who continually find ways to have success. And one of the guys that they have is Vice President of Player Personnel, I believe his title, George Kokinas. He's somebody who's been in that organization for a long time. So I think that that's one route that they can go. They can't make a too early of a decision. Obviously, you got to wait until you can interview some of these guys or with other teams. But that's going to dictate how they go for a head coach. You go GM first, then you go head coach. So I kind of think that they may end up with somebody with experience. Whether it's one of the two guys that they already brought in or someone else, somebody who's had experience at that level. It's not an easy market. Obviously, you know that and what it's like there, and you have to have that ability to deal with it. So, and then you can look across and see how the Giants have had their issues and what Joe Shane has gone through in New York and some of the follies and the mistakes and the blunders on Hard Knocks and all that stuff too as well. So this is one that they got to get it right. And once they make that decision, obviously Aaron Rodgers too, they got to make a decision on Aaron. Do they want to keep him around? It seems like he feels like he wants to play. He looks a little bit healthier, and I know he's dealing with the MCL now, so that can impact the way he plays, but he's moved around a little bit. I think he's got some football left in him, even at 41. So that one's going to be totally dependent upon what the new head coach and the GM feel like is going to be best for the team. Unless the organization and the owner want to say, hey, we just want to move on. We got to bring in somebody, one of the in the draft, and there's going to be options to bring in a veteran bridge quarterback too. Kirk Cousins would be one of those guys.
Interesting. Where did Joe Douglas go wrong? You know Douglas well. You watched him, you know, from Baltimore through Philadelphia into the Jets. Was it, you know, the picking the wrong quarterback at number two with Zach, or where did it go wrong for him?
Yeah, obviously, when you don't hit on that, and now 2 years later, 3 years later, you're looking at another quarterback, that's problematic. But you can say that for every organization that misses, right? That gets a guy in there, that brings a quarterback in there, and doesn't hit on him. It's wild to see the success that Sam Darnold's having now in Minnesota, because it matters. Coaching matters. Organizational structure matters. Talent around somebody matters. Maybe we'll see Zach Wilson at some point have some success. I think too many teams.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Teams are giving up too early, too soon on some of these young quarterbacks because it's a what have you done for me right now kind of situation in the NFL. I was really surprised by how the Hassan Reddick situation unfolded with the Jets, given that he had made it clear with the Eagles that he wanted a new contract. And I know that there were some promises that may have been made that weren't kept or whatever it was. This is a guy that could be an impact player had he come in immediately and been with the team. Some of those games that we talked about, Ricky, early in the season where one play here, one play there, and all of a sudden instead of 2-6 or 6-2 or 7-3 or whatever it may be, elite edge rusher like Hassan Reddick could have made that difference. And they completely misread that situation. It didn't work out. And ultimately, Joe Douglas is no longer there. And now we're hearing some of the dirty laundry being aired and some of this nonsense and some of the speculation and some of those reports and what can be substantiated and what isn't and the Madden ratings and all of that stuff. That just you look at that and you throw your hands up in the air and go, I don't know. But I will say this. There are 32 jobs in the NFL as a head coach. That's it. There's only 32 head coaching jobs, 32 GM jobs out there in the world. So anyone who wants to paint a narrative that the New York Jets aren't going to be attractive for any of the stuff that they have to deal with as far as ownership, I just don't think that's fair because there are only 32 of these jobs and there are people who want these jobs out there. And everybody who is aspiring to be a head coach or a GM, you're not going to say no to trying to have success in that market.
All right, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, do they both go? Does one go, the other one stay? And if so, which one stays, which one goes? And if they both stay, Rob, it can't be a lame duck. We'll give you another year. You've got to extend both of them. What do the Giants end up doing, in your opinion?
Ricky, this one's so hard to read because of John Mara and the respect that he has around the league and the thought that he's not one of these rash owners who has continually turns over leadership. And if he does make that change, we're looking at, I believe it's about three head coaches, three GMs, and it would be five head coaches in less than a decade. So I'm starting to think that it's going to be one, not both. And the one then that would make most sense would be the GM, because Brian Daboll was a coach of the year 2 years ago. Just 2 years ago, they not only was he the coach of the year, they won a playoff game on the road. So with a healthy team, with a healthy quarterback, and obviously they missed on Daniel Jones, but he was the guy who led them to a playoff win on the road. When he's playing and he's healthy and he's got pieces around him, and they do have some talent around him, and they do have some talent on defense. So I think this might be one where they bring in a new GM and kind of give Daboll an opportunity to coach the new quarterback with the number one pick, whether they go Shadur or they go Cam Ward. And then as much of a lame duck as he would be, and we know that that's what it is, but guys do that now in the NFL. Look at Mike McCarthy. He went in this season as a lame duck, and it looks like he may keep his job, and the Cowboys aren't even going to make the playoffs. So I'm starting to believe that might be the route that John Mara goes, just because he doesn't want to blow it up completely. But then you bring in a new GM, most often a GM is going to want his own guy, his own head coach. But it's kind of hard to believe that Brian Daboll, just 2 years removed from being one of the top coaches in the NFL, is going to be unemployed. They've had a series of things that have unraveled there. They've had injuries. They've had a lot of bad luck. But now it doesn't help his case the way this team has kind of just he looks defeated. They look defeated. They look like a beaten team lately. And it would have, I think you would make a stronger case, or I could make a stronger case for Daboll had the Giants been performing well right now, kind of like the Raiders go out last week and get a W that hurts their draft positioning. But at the same time, if you're a Giant fan, you want them to lose. You don't want to win. Maybe play hard and lose at the end, but you got to get that number one pick. That's all. That's what it's all about right now.
Why did Belichick settle for a college job? Was there really no interest around the league?
This is one where I really feel, Ricky, that he kind of felt that the opportunity and the fit wasn't going to be there. There were eight jobs open last year, and well, one of them was New England. So it was seven opportunities, seven teams, and he only got one interview. And teams are just looking at the younger, the next Sean McVay, the next guy that can come in there. And we did see a couple of retreads, former coaches, and Quinn and Raheem Morris and Jim Harbaugh come in. But Jim Harbaugh's had such a tremendous record throughout his career. And interestingly enough, those three coaches who previously coached in the NFL are in position to make the playoffs right now. So maybe owners going into this hiring cycle maybe rethink that. Maybe it's better to bring in someone who's had head coaching experience. I just don't think Bill Belichick thought that he was going to get the right opportunity, if at all. And the North Carolina job was open, available, and intriguing to him. And even though those wins don't count and he's not going to break Don Shula's record by getting W's for the Tar Heels, the opportunity to be able to go to college and have tremendous success if he's going to stay there and he's still got that easy out after 1 year, it's different. It's something that guys have not done. So you could be the GOAT. You could be the greatest coach of all time, have won 6 Super Bowls, 8 altogether, 2 as an assistant, and now go to college in his 70s in this new version of the NCAA, where it's so similar to the NFL, as he put it, with the NIL and all the opportunities to go out there and recruit and give guys money and bring them in and build a program and a portal and everything else, and he's got a GM in place. It just seems so exciting, I believe, to him that he said, let me take it while I have this opportunity, and if something comes along in the NFL, and let's face it, Ricky, his record without Tom Brady is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to show that he can have some success somewhere without number 12 on the field.
Well, we didn't have it in Cleveland. And obviously when TB12 moved to Tampa, although he did win 10 games with Mac Jones in that 1 year, but then it went downhill from there. I've got a minute left. Faith and today's athletes is something that you're dedicated to. You've got a wonderful podcast where you talk faith and football with these athletes. You know, where does faith stand with today's athlete, and what has made your pod so successful?
I think it's such an important part of who some of these guys are, Ricky. And oftentimes when they're talking about their faith and they're being thankful and grateful for where the Lord has brought them, it's often where we see the microphones turn away or the cameras turn off. And I just give them that opportunity to not only speak about it, but elaborate on it on Faith on the Field show. So they get to talk about what's important to them in so many ways, what's helped them reach the level that they're at. And honestly, it just comes down to this, Ricky. Like, I see so many people out there searching, hurting, seeking answers, and looking in all the wrong places. And I don't want to sit there and throw Bibles at them and tell them. I just tell them what works for me, what's helped me get through my life, use some of these athletes to share their stories, and try and encourage and inspire people that way. And I'm so grateful that so many athletes have come alongside and been willing to do it.
Tell folks where they can listen to you.
FaithOnTheFieldShow.com. You can check out all. I'm 7 years into it, and anywhere podcasts are found. We're on several radio stations across the country, but that's the easiest way to do it. And, of course, I'm on all social media platforms at Rob Motti.
Rob, where are you this weekend? You're gonna watch the games at home tomorrow, but once we get into the weekend, you're going to watch everything from home, or are you traveling?
I'll be at the Buccaneers game on Sunday as they try and stay in the race for the NFC South. They got to win, and they got to get some help now because it's out of their control, although the Commanders should really give them that help against the Falcons on Sunday night. But they got to take care of business first and foremost against Carolina.
Going to be a fascinating last 2 weeks in the regular season. You read him in the AP, the Associated Press. He just told you about his pod. Our buddy Rob Motti talking all things football and faith. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Please send my best to the missus and the girls, everyone. God bless all of you, and thank you for a couple minutes, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great holiday season.
All right. That's Rob Motti. Fascinating. To hear some of these athletes open up about their faith is something. If you haven't listened, it's not like a Billy Graham or who's the reverend that's on it out of Houston. You know, it's on every week. It's not that. It's guys just talking about what makes them click, and it's a fascinating way to get inside the mind of some of today's athletes. And we thank Rob for a few minutes.